Well, amen. And once again, a blessed and joyous and full of potential, happy new year to all who are gathered here this morning. I suppose it's always good to wake up on yet another day, but I think there's something in particular, obviously, that we can be thankful for when we think about the fact that not only did you wake up this morning, but your waking up this morning gave testimony to the fact that God has carried us into yet another year, and maybe the larger testimony is that God carried us through the previous year, and here we yet still are. We thank God for being able to gather on this first day of the year, and what a blessing it is to look out and not only to see all of you, but to know that as this season of celebration, this holiday season sort of culminates, that we've been able in two successive Sundays now, on Christmas Day and now on New Year's Day, to be gathered as God's people at the height of celebration for both the birth of our Savior, but now also the blessings of a year gone by and a year that is now unfolding. So I just count it a joy to be with all of you on this bright and sunny Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. Well, there are a lot of passages that I think speak to, as we were just considering, the newness of the day, the potential of the moment, the opportunities that exist. And one of the things that happens around this time of the year is that people are inclined to make resolutions. I'd be willing to bet you that if we took a field trip right now to, what's the gym chain called? What's it called? Planet Fitness. Is that the yellow and the purple one or whatever? I'd be willing to bet you this morning at Planet Fitness you would have trouble finding a locker. I'd be willing to bet that most of the towels have already been claimed and that people are on the treadmills and on the ellipticals and doing all the kinds of stuff that one does when one makes a commitment, makes, if you will, a resolution to determine that they're going to do better by way of their physical well-being and their physical health. I'd be willing to bet that if we did a web search assessment, we probably would find that right about now, the web traffic for registration for Weight Watchers is probably upticking even as we speak. I'd be willing to bet that there are lots of things that are unfolding right now that represent the kind of commitment, or if you will, recommitment to something that maybe we thought we were going to do before, or maybe we hadn't even really thought about doing, but somehow the beginning of a new year gives us the idea that it's time to start again. And the word, interestingly enough, the word resolution, and emanating from the word resolve, is interesting. You know, when you look up the etymology of words sometimes, it says a lot about how we use them. And it's interesting because the word resolution, the word resolve, its origin, if you will, comes from the Latin resolvere. And that just simply means to unfasten, to release. And maybe that's a good way to be thinking about the beginnings of this new year, that if we're making a resolution about anything, it's not so much simply that we're committing to do something as much as we're letting go maybe of what's held us back in the past, or letting go of the unbounded potential that this new year brings. So when we think about our resolutions, if you will, we should think about the fact that we don't have to be bound, we don't have to be strictured, we don't have to be held back by any set of limitations that we put on ourselves, because when we think about the ways in which God blesses us, The fact that God blesses us usually is because it exceeds our expectations. So maybe our resolutions for this coming year should be outrageously bold. Maybe they should extend us beyond where we started from. And not because we think we necessarily have the requisite willpower that will carry us from now until December 31st. Maybe not because we know that we can always be focused and stay on target, but maybe because if we lay claim to the promises of God to abide with us, to strengthen us, and to direct us, not only in the course of these next 365 days, but throughout all of our lives, then our resolve can be strong and intact. So, a passage that I thought might be helpful to consider when we think about how that resolve can evidence itself. If we're going to begin the new year and if we're going to have a list of things we ought to do, we probably ought to start somewhere with a list that's fairly substantive and that leads us into some good places and good things. And so in the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we hear these words. And before I read them, know something. No offense to the Left Behind series. No offense to all of the kinds of dramatizations that people like to assert toward the end of the world. But it's interesting, for all of the clamor that oftentimes is attributed to what the summation of history will be like, this passage is, believe it or not, about the end of the world, so to speak. It's about the end of time as we understand it. And it's a little different than maybe what a movie about the end times might lead us to believe or what our thinking might be. Hear the word of God from Matthew 25, beginning at the 31st verse. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All of the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of those who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing and discerning of his word. Shall we pray? Lord, bless now our understanding as it becomes real and close to our hearts of how we would walk with you, how we would serve you, how we would glorify you. Help us to understand that which is truly primary and essential in our Christian walk. And give us the strength and, yes, the resolve to do the right thing, to do the good thing, and to do the just thing. And we ask it in the name of the one who is the Son of Man, our Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let me just say that when we come to a point of resolution or resolve, this is an awfully good place to start. Because when you think about it, the fact that this, as I said earlier, takes place at the summation of time and history, this is, if you will, the end times, as it were. Maybe not quite as dramatic as what we will read later on in Revelation, but nevertheless, the point at which, again, history and time have wound up. And Christ is enthroned and God is in his majesty. But the question is simple. What did you do for the kingdom? What did you do to signify you being a part of the realm, the reign of God? And what's interesting about this passage is that the list of tasks and duties, if you will, are so within our reach, it makes it embarrassing not to reach out and lay hold of them. Notice that God, at the summation of all of time and history, doesn't ask us what mountains we scaled, doesn't ask us what battles we waged, doesn't ask us what victories we won, but asks us, did you clothe those who were naked? Did you give water to those who were thirsting? Did you visit those who were sick? Did you speak words of comfort and liberation to those who were in prison? Did you do those things that the best of our human nature allows us to do? And I'd submit to you this morning that if we start there, if our resolution, if our list of resolutions doesn't start with climbing Mount Everest or writing the next great American novel or making our first $1 million on the stock market. But if our list of resolutions begins with speaking words of comfort, with extending acts of loving kindness, with doing those things that really reflect who God is in our lives and who God should be in the world, then we've embarked upon the very thing that God will honor when, again, time winds up. See, it's interesting because this passage, now I know there are lots of ways that we can speak about this in profound and deep and intellectually substantive theological language, but this really is a theology of put up or shut up. This is a theology that tells us that it's one thing to speak about and to claim and profess all of those elements that make you righteous and holy and pious. But the reality is that God calls us to the action of loving and serving and caring. And do you know why? Because God, in the fullest measure of how God has interacted with us, didn't come to this world in the form and nature of his son to just simply express platitudes or say profound things. No, the reality of Jesus in the world was that he came to bring healing and wholeness, to give measures of joy where there was sorrow, to heal the wounds of our hearts and our spirits. So therefore, if God has come into humankind to act out love, then how can we do anything less? See, I'm glad that many of us may know plenty of Bible verses, and many of us may have the ways in which we know that we ought to act that are pious and righteous and all of those wonderful things. That's well and good, but when it comes down to it, the summation of who we are in Christ is what we do in Christ. The summation of who we are in Christ is how we love in Christ, how we extend loving kindness to others. So, I said a minute ago that this resolution, this list of resolutions for 2017 is relatively speaking simple. But at the same time, if we really take it to heart, it's profound. You know why? Because if we love, if we extend ourselves in care and compassion, that immediately puts us at odds with so much that swirls around us. You know, I noted something last night, and I'm sure many of you noted as well, all yesterday, if you watched any of the local news coverage about the swelling crowds in Times Square, that the story really was, as much as anything, about the numbers of people who were going to gather there, but the heightened security. That unlike previous years, and we live in a post 9/11 world now, but that the levels of security would be higher than they've ever been before. And I have a theory. Yes, I'm sure that there are some elements that speak to the issues of terror threats, although they said there were no new terror threats that were impending on last night, et cetera, and thank God for that. But even if it wasn't solely a matter of whether or not there were external terror threats, I'd be willing to say to you that those experts who assess the height of danger and the height of risk, maybe they didn't articulate it quite this way, but I'd be willing to bet that some of them said, you know what? There's a level of tension and anxiety and discord that swirls around us, and we don't necessarily know how it's going to evidence itself. And I'm not even just talking about people having differing political views, but I'm talking about the fact that there's a spirit of unkindness that seems to now have credence with so many people. And so therefore, if we do this, if we resolve to extend ourselves in love, to feed the hungry, to give water to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, to visit those who are sick, to go to those who are in prison, then we are acting in a way that is against the tide and against the grain of so much else. We're doing something revolutionary just by doing this. So at once, this is easy stuff, because it's something that all of us have the capacity to do. But at the same time, this is revolutionary stuff, because a whole lot of folk aren't doing it. So if we want to begin this year with resolve, we want to let go of what may be holding us back, do the revolutionary thing of loving and showing kindness and extending ourselves. And in doing that, reflecting the very thing that God has come into the world through Christ to do. The noted theologian Howard Thurman wrote a short verse called "When the Song of the Angels is Stilled." When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. So maybe our resolution as Christmas draws to a close is to do what we can do, to speak out love, to show love, to share love in the way that God has made possible for all of us. We can all do these things that Matthew 25 speaks to. But remember that as we do them, we are laying claim to and proclaiming and giving evidence to the kingdom of God here in the world. So be it resolved. Oh, I may look up Planet Fitness. Be it resolved. I may go online and check out Weight Watchers. Be it resolved. I may have some things that I see as aspirational goals that I want to start. Maybe I'll start trying to write the great American novel or the great American theological treatise. Be it resolved. I may try to do all of those kinds of things or some of those kinds of things. But with certainty, I know I can speak comfort to those who are suffering. With certainty, I know I can give aid to those who are in need of aid, to give water to those who thirst, to give food to those who are hungry, to give clothing to those who are naked, to visit those who are sick, to go to those who are in prison. Because if I do that, then I'm doing the radical thing of declaring that, yes, the kingdom of God is now here. Be it resolved. Amen.